Live from London, this is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Collum on Teachers Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Brunch. Yes, it's time to talk Sunday Brunch. We're talking growth mindset today for the second time. Think of it as part two. We're picking apart the barriers this week. We're going to break through the barriers, hopefully. I'm going to give you child A, B, and C. You're going to tell me how we can think about helping them to achieve their aspirations, achieve their goals. It's Teachers Talk Radio, and we are live. Live from London. This is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Collum on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/ttradio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. What an exciting time to be on Teachers Talk Radio. This platform, this little world of ours, seems to be growing and growing. And this week has just been an exciting week for all of us here at Teachers Talk Radio, hopefully for the listeners as well. What you might have seen popping up on your social media feeds, you might have seen live listens coming up this week. We started providing some options to listen live to Teachers Talk Radio. So for some of the shows, we're trialing it at the moment. You know, you don't even need to go into the Podbean app, but if you are in the Podbean app, then you're at the absolute best and right place to be, because that is where you can call me directly and call any of our hosts directly, or drop comments in the chat and speak to us live on the air on the Podbean app. So yes, if you are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or any of those places, you can listen to us. You can enjoy the tones of all of our different voices, the many, many hosts of Teachers Talk Radio. And if you're on the Podbean app, then we can talk directly, which is awesome. It's just exciting. You know, it's an exciting time to be here. Tom Hopkinsburg, straight into the comments. He's very much our social media man. He manages a lot of social media. I imagine him in a room with multiple television screens and multiple keyboards and definitely a swivelly chair, possibly even on like on a rail. You know, and so he can slide to the left computer and then slide over to the right computer, managing the many worlds of Teachers Talk Radio. It says, what message do you have for your listeners on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter? What message do I have? Oh, Tom, you put me on the spot there. Get involved. Growth mindset. Talk to me. I don't know. Well, enjoy Graham Shame. It's all coming up today. We're going to talk through the news, as we always do, a little bit of current affairs, a bit of topical chat at the start of the show. We're going to have the news with Sebastian Sagnier, which is a bit of a new twist to the news this weekend. Tom Hopkinsburg, now that he is the mastermind at the screens, he has had to pass on the reins of newsreader to the wonderful Sebastian Sagnier. So you're going to hear a new voice reading the news this week. And yes, later on then at about 12 o'clock, we're going to have Graham Shame. I'm loaded with Graham Shames. I've got at least another 4 weeks of embarrassing things to share with you all to make you feel better about your lives, to help you go swiftly into the rest of your day with a smile on your face. But our main topic to be talking throughout the show today is about growth mindset. It's growth mindset part two this week, which we started last week, but I only really got into talking about what it was, some of the issues we have around growth mindset. And of course, I made a big point of saying that I don't think teachers are currently enacting growth mindset enough. But today we're talking about the barriers to growth mindset. We're talking about what's stopping children reach their goals and how can we get around them. I've got a little prep of child A, B, and C, right? I've got some, let's say, imaginary children, but they could be based on some real people who I've come to know in my teaching life. Three random, you know, maybe they're compiling of different qualities of children, but the child A, B, and C. And I'm going to put it to you in that how you get these children to overcome some of their barriers and make their way towards their aspirations, to break down the walls that we face with growth mindset. And I say we, I do think we all face some walls with growth mindset. It's something we have to constantly stay on top of. But I'm going to pop those kids over to you guys and I'm going to say, what can we do? You can drop comments in the Podbean app. You can call me directly. And I really hope you do. We've got so much to talk about today with the news, with talking about growth mindset, with Graham Shame. These are all opportunities which you could come in and you can call in and drop in your angle on the events. And I hope you do. I hope you do. If you're feeling a little shy or you maybe are conscious of your voice, you can drop comments live during the show. If you're listening on Sunday morning, it's just gone 11 a.m. Let's have a little look. It's 11:05. And welcome to Teachers Talk Radio, the platform for teachers' voices. We have such a great range of hosts here. We have such a full schedule at the moment. It's filling up. Just yesterday it was announced that we have who's known as the ASBO teacher, the wonderful Sam Elliott, who I actually was fortunate enough to have call into my show a couple of weeks ago. He now is a fellow host on Teachers Talk Radio. Kate Jones is a fellow host on Teachers Talk Radio. She's been dominating Twitter these days. She's had a recent book out. She's doing, you know, free CPD and just reaching out to the world in so many wonderful ways. Noreen Khalid is in the room at the moment. Wonderful, wonderful person. Eid Mubarak to Noreen, who I know has been fasting for a little while, and to any other Islamic listeners who've just come to the end of Ramadan. Great. Congratulations. I hope you're all having a great time. I hope you enjoyed Eid very, very much indeed. Best wishes to all. Let's have a little look at what's been in the news this week. Let's talk about what's been in the news. It's been a wild one, as is always the way it is. So let's talk the big ones. The barriers are coming down, aren't they, in the world? We're seeing, we're able to go to places. Shops are open. Some of us have been going to pubs finally. We're sat out in gardens. And on Monday, of course, more barriers are expected to be pulled back. Masks are coming off children in schools. How are you feeling about it? How are you feeling about those masks coming off people in the classroom? I know there's mixed feelings out there. I know some people feel totally fine. Others a little bit anxious about a change, perhaps another, you know, a potential rise down the road. Somebody says the school, Tom Hopkins Burke says the school down the road from me is keeping the masks. That's the other thing, is that actually it does come down to individual schools and their own risk assessments. In my own school, the kids aren't wearing masks, but adults are. We're having our first ever group staff meeting on Monday where we're all in the same room, but we'll be wearing masks and we'll be socially distanced. But the thing is obviously there's the added element to, so far up till now, I think it's been feeling good, right? There's been a lot of people getting vaccinated, a lot of numbers coming down. It's been looking good. But of course, we have this element of the Indian variant coming in now where there's potential for maybe some unexpected turns in the near future. And so that's the cause of some anxiety when we are starting to take down some barriers, when we're saying we can eat indoors, when we're saying that we can take off masks in school. If this Indian variant causes some more problems, then this is something for us to worry about. Here's something I heard yesterday while listening to the news. I heard, and this is simply down on the grapevine, is that the numbers at the time when the Indian variant was spreading abroad, in India, when it was in India originally, we had closed transport links to other countries that had similar numbers. And the word on the street is that the reason we kept the door open to India is because Boris had a trip going to India to talk about Brexit deals, negotiations. And he, you know, essentially the inference is that he's allowed that to take priority. What do you think of that? Do you think that sounds to me very much in line with what I expect of our current guys up top of Boris and friends? That perhaps they knew that, you know, there was a potential problem there, but they left it open for their own financial gains, for their own trading benefits, and now possibly to the regret of all of us, if there are further infections. But of course, lots of us are vaccinated, and so there is a positive side to this. There is a positive side that vaccines are out, we are safer. So hopefully, Indian variant or no Indian variant, we can look into positive futures, hopefully. What's your thoughts on COVID? Do you feel okay? Do you feel safe? Are you happy taking masks off? Are your school saying that all are taking masks off, or are yours keeping them on? Are they playing it safe? I'm interested to know what the feeling is in the country, because I don't know that. I'm just one guy, one voice, and I'd love to hear more. Overseas in the world of the States, of the United States of America, I've been some equally baffling news. I believe they are now switching to an honor system of masks and distancing. And they've literally said, the lead of the, Department for care, healthcare and all this, they've, I can't remember what the name of the department is. But anyway, they basically come out and said that if you're not vaccinated,
you have to social distance and mask. But if you are vaccinated, you can absolutely attend mass gatherings, go to all the shops, you know, hugs, links, no masks, no distancing. They've taken down all barriers for all COVID restrictions in America under the guise of an honor system. I'm going to leave you a moment to think about that. That's to say that people just have to be honest. They just have to go, yeah, I'm not vaccinated, so I'm going to wear a mask. Those people aren't vaccinated, so they're all going to go to the Taylor Swift gig. That's a worry for me. I'm thinking that's not a good move, America. And their vaccine, you know, they have bigger barriers to their vaccination program because they have a lot of anti-vaxxers over that way. They have a lot of people who I think are going to crack on, vaccinated or not. So that's a worry, isn't it? Have anybody got any news to add to that? Anybody got any points of view to add to that? That one really made my jaw drop. I heard that on the news on Friday, that they've literally taken down all barriers and they're just expecting people to be decent about social distancing and masks. I guess it deals with the social issues. Well, it doesn't actually, does it? Because then, it could just make it worse because people who should have masks but maybe aren't wearing masks, well, that could then come down to people and individuals to sort it out rather than government. It's a very hands-off approach, isn't it, from the government's point of view? And so that has a few implications to have along with it. Let's see in the comments. We have a comment from Mal, CPD, amazing fellow host. She's the Monday breakfast show. Tomorrow she'll be on again. She says they knew they did nothing. Now there are more infections. That is absolutely the what I'd heard. That was the angle I'd heard, and is that this is coming back to the British government, that they knew the Indian variant was out there and it was likely to come over here if they didn't close the borders. They did nothing. Now there are more infections. This new variant is all over the country because they did not take control of our borders. Ironically, they didn't take control of our borders after. And funnily, the irony, can we just shine a light for, if you allow me this gratuitous moment, to shine a light on the irony of them not taking control of the borders when it comes to the virus, but leaving the borders open for Brexit negotiations, which were sold on the back of taking control of our borders. You couldn't write it. You couldn't make it up. This is the world we live in. This is the world we find ourselves in. So, there we are, a bit of irony, a bit of potential worry. We can only hope, can't we? We can only hope that some sense kicks in. Maybe the vaccinated, you know, the many vaccinated will manage to you know, and that will. I know the vaccine rollout is happening more quickly, and so hopefully that will counter some of the potential problems. We need our summer, guys, don't we? We want that June 21st date to come in. Boris wants June 21st. It's his birthday. I think on June 19th or 23rd, it's his birthday, which is a worry for me because I have a feeling the date was picked for one reason and one reason only, and that was Boris's birthday too. It's because he wants his buddies round again. Doesn't surprise me. That's, you know, a bit political perhaps, but it's a worry. It's a worry. But I really would like that June date to come around. I'd like to do something over the summer. I'd like to sit in a pub with a pint, and it would really be unfortunate if this new variant come in spoils all of these plans, and then I'm sure they'll act surprised, won't they? Mal says, yet if we were still in the EU, there would have been more controls and they wouldn't have allowed the borders to be open to countries who are riddled with COVID. Indeed, the irony continues. It escalates, it spins on. It's not good. Right, if you've just joined us, people are coming into the studio. Simon is in the studio. That's actually my brother. Hello, brother. How are you doing? Yes, if you're coming into the studio, here's what we're looking at today. We're talking through current affairs at the moment. We're getting a bit topical. Then in a little while, we're going to start getting into growth mindset. We're going to talk growth mindset. We're going to have the news with Sebastian Sagnier, new newsreader today. So that's exciting to hear his voice on the airwaves. We're going to be talking growth mindset and overcoming the barriers to growth mindset. How do we kick down those walls that so many children face? We're looking at child A, child B and child C, and I'm asking you for solutions to help those children overcome their barriers. As the show goes on at 12 o'clock, we will be visiting Graham's shame as I hang my head and you guys hopefully throw your heads back in laughter and enjoy the embarrassments of my lifetime. And then after that, yes, we'll be furthering into the world of growth mindset for the last time. And then we'll move on to new topics in future weeks. Other areas of news. So we have the Indian variant in the UK. We have America weirdly opening up massively and expecting people just to be honest about whether they're vaccinated or not, even though they have mass anti-vaxxers. There's been quite a lot of chat on Twitter this week about teaching RE in primary and whether you should teach it as discrete religions. So we have kind of a term on Sikhism, a term on Hinduism and so forth, and look at different religions in depth, or whether to look at shared qualities between religions. So say in my school at the moment, we're currently doing a unit. We did have a unit on Sikhism, to be fair, but we're currently doing a unit on vows. And so we look at marriages across religions and different ceremonies and different traditions and the merits and problems of each of those. Ooh, Tom Hopkins Burke saying more on that news on the Saturday lunch next week. Yes, Tom Hopkins Burke has his Saturday lunch show now. He's moved from being our newsreader on the regular to being the newsreader on the weekends. And now he has a solid hour and a half of really awesome getting your teeth into the current affairs, getting your teeth into the news with, you know, on the ground interviews. An RE special he's got next week. That's awesome. Yes, that's the discussion at the moment. Should we teach religions separately so that they get an in-depth view of religions, or should we be chopping and changing between them? Honestly, from my experience when I was young, it's going to sound really bad, but I'm just giving an honest view of my child point of view that honestly, a lot of the ones that I was brought up Catholic, and in my mind, I can look back now and say in my mind mentally, I kind of lumped Hinduism, Sikhism, Islam, all of it kind of just went together in my mind. Because we were taught just sporadically bits of different religions, I didn't really differentiate them well. I didn't really understand key differences between them. The things I understand now from Sikhism and Hinduism and Islam as very separate and discrete religions, I did not gain that from my education. I very much saw them. I hate to say it because it sounds racist to say it, but you know, as a kid at the time, this was my understanding of the world as a young boy. But I essentially saw a lot of those as religions that brown people had. Do you know what I mean? And it's awful to say it, but that's a reflection of how I was educated, and that I didn't pick up on those differences clearly when they were all kind of blended together. It basically became, this is what Christians do, right? I got that. And this is what all the other religions do. And, you know, Buddhism didn't get a look in. A lot of other religions didn't get a look in. But that was a reflection of mine. So I'm a bigger fan of getting your teeth into separate religions really in depth. We did Sikhism in autumn in our school. And I think the kids really get, you know, visit a gurdwara, or we would have visited a gurdwara, we usually do. And I just think they get a real sense of the priorities of that religion, what they want to do. I think it's much better to look at them discreetly. My brother Simon is saying, I was worried he's going to come in and counter my point. He says, but we did learn the lyrics to Follow Me in our Catholic primary. Yes, there's a great space to talk about hymns. Isn't there some great videos that go around of top 10 primary hymns? Follow Me never makes it in. Follow Me. That was a classic. For those of you that don't know it, it went something like, follow me, leave your homes and families. And that is the only time I will ever sing like that on Teachers Talk Radio. But yes, that was a classic, a banger, I would say, a banger in the school hymns in Catholic school. But yes, not a great way to teach RE for me. That's my opinion. And what do you think? What do you think? Any opinions? Drop your comments in. You can call in if you wish on any of these topics and drop in your point of view. Last little note, this is a celebratory last note on the current affairs. We have a fellow host, James Clark. You may well listen to him. I need to pull up my schedule. I'll tell you exactly when you can find him. But he has had cause for celebration this week, James Clark. He's been nominated for an award, a TES award. So our fellow host, I didn't even actually hit my run of hosts. I want to go through all these amazing things that our fellow hosts have achieved. But one of them this week, James Clark, is up for New Teacher of the Year in the TES Awards. Took us all by surprise, took him by surprise this week. So another cause for celebration on Teachers Talk Radio. Like I said, we have the ASBO teacher, Sam Elliott, now on the airwaves as a host. We have Mal CPD in the comments. She's a host. Noreen Khalid in the comments. She's a host. Sobia Iqbal came just before me. What an amazing Saturday morning show she always runs. There's something about the way she questions and the way she holds interviews. I have such respect for Sobia. And I'm gripped. She's almost like a newsreader. You know, I don't know if grilling is the right word. I wouldn't say grilling. It's too aggressive. But she like has such good targeted questioning. I like can't take my ear away from her show on Sunday morning. So love that, Sobia. Awesome. And following me today for the first time is Khalil Rouse, my buddy, my pal, amazing fellow host. There he is in the comments. I can't see the emojis. I see a bunch of rectangles, but I hope they're smiley faces or excited faces or something. He is following this a half an hour after I'm off the airwaves at 12:30. He's in at 1, and he will be talking through Sunday lunch with all of you, bringing his wonderful angle on the many, many things we could be talking through. Welcome to Sunday. And ironically, in recent weeks, I was on a Saturday, and he was saying, one of us, one of us. Now, Khalil, you are one of us, one of us. And I'm imagining all of us Sunday hosts chanting that at you. I'm sure Sobia and Tony are also chanting that as I say that. So welcome, Khalil, to Sunday. Wind down into Sunday with Sobia, me, and Tony, and Khalil on Teachers Talk Radio. No, I wouldn't class that as singing, Mal. Mal says that's more singing. That wasn't singing. That was simply enthusiastic chanting, right? It's a totally different field. I wouldn't either. All right. Back off on the harsh singing. I was engaging with my growth mindset, you know, going out of my comfort zone, singing on the airwaves. No, don't worry. I can also use my growth mindset to assess when I'm successful or not. And I will leave that one in history as a mini Graham Shame at the start of the episode. Yes, welcome. If you're just tuning in now, you are listening to Teachers Talk Radio, the amazing Teachers Talk Radio. On Sunday morning/afternoon. We're in the morning at the moment. We're about to move into the afternoon in 40 minutes. If you are listening on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, or anywhere else in the world, welcome. I'm Graham Collum. I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for the next hour and 10 minutes, talking mainly about growth mindset and overcoming the barriers to growth mindset. You might be sat there thinking, why on earth, Graham Collum, are you talking about growth mindset? That is so 2018. And I thought about that. I thought people will probably think it's a little bit random to bring up, but I would actually argue that this is the perfect time to bring it up, because post-COVID, the priorities of education are shifting around, aren't they? We're reinventing a lot of aspects of education. We're reforming a lot of ideas, simplifying things where we can. And I'm bringing the flag of growth mindset back into the conversation as a key pillar of education that we need to stamp it into the ground. We need to have it firmly into the ground, and all the rest of the school building can lean upon the pillar of growth mindset. I think it's a priority we shouldn't forget. And that's why I'm bringing it up this week and last week, is that I'm worried that amongst all the kerfuffle and movement and changes of priorities, we're going to forget about that growth mindset that is so key, in my opinion. And so that's why I want to shine a little light on it as we come back into the world of normality. And it is creeping slowly, hopefully, back to some normality. So I'm kind of doing my bit to say growth mindset may have been so 2018, but let's make it so 2021 and keep it going forward. Because I think personally, it's key to go forward and keep the world of education strong and positive. So as a little recap from last week, you might remember I recited the quote from Rocky, which is a key growth mindset quote. I'm not going to go over what growth mindset is again in great detail. It's basically about, pushing past boundaries and being honest with yourself when to engage with your learning goals, and not overpraising yourself, actually looking more at your areas to improve than your achievements. And even in your achievements, don't pat yourself on the back too much, but recognize the things you did to reach those achievements, and of course then apply that to others in their learning journey. Let's have a little look. There's a comment here from up numbers K. They say, considering how domain specific and variable growth mindset seems to be, can we teach it? Well, that's something I want to engage with today, is about how we apply it in school and whether it can be taught, whether it can in some ways be taught. But before I go further and get my teeth into the barriers of growth mindset, I'm going to play you from the mouth of Sly Stallone himself the amazing quote that I tried to do last week in his voice. So just to lead us into the talk on growth mindset, here's Sylvester Stallone. Hello, Sylvester. Are you on the line? Great to have you here, Sylvester. Please give us the quote from Rocky in exactly the way you said it in the movie Rocky Balboa.
I already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Thanks. Thanks, Sly. Sorry to cut you off there, Sylvester. Great to have you on the line, but we're in a rush. What can I say? We have a lot to talk through, so you can go now. There you go. That's how winning is done, people. How hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. So he's summarized the meaning of growth mindset there for me. Thank you, Sylvester. You're great. So call in whenever you like. Zoe, thank you, Zoe, for being here. Good to have you in the room. Zoe Enser, I imagine. The wonderful Zoe Enser, I had a brief chat with this morning about the ideas of growth mindset and applying it in the classroom. Pleasure to have you in the room. Thank you for joining us here on Teachers Talk Radio. What an exciting time to be a listener. She says, I had that quote on my wall. Such a quote. I talked last week that I'm not one to have quotes on my wall. However, honestly, if there ever was one, that would be one. P.S. I was Googling, of course, as you do, I was Googling growth mindset quotes from movies the other day, and Yoda popped his head up. You know Yoda. Of course you do. Yoda, he is. He popped up. That was very in between this, wasn't it? I'm going to continue to do Yoda impressions throughout this little moment. He was promoted as a good growth mindset figure. So here's some Yoda quotes that he says that are pro-growth mindset. However, I would like to challenge you all and say that Yoda is, in fact, not very growth mindset at all. He's got some barriers and some problems in his life. But hold on, I've got to find them now. I had them elsewhere, but technical issues, what can I say? Yoda, quote, growth mindset. Okay. So Yoda, he has some great things. Here we go. Here's some Yoda quotes for you to think about as well. You know, you want to know the difference between a master and a beginner. The master has failed more times than the beginner has ever tried, which is awesome. That's, of course, about failing and engaging with your failures, knowing that you have to fail if you wish to succeed. Here's another great one, very growth mindset. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. I so wanted fear. Is the path to the dark side. That was good. That was a good one, right? So yes, he's very growth mindset. However, most famous quote, I think, from Yoda, which is not growth mindset. Anybody know what it is? Anybody think they can bring in the true colors of Yoda? When I would charge into Yoda's little planet and I would say, you still have a ways to go, Yoda. This is it. Mal's on it. Mal is well on her Star Wars references. She says, try or try not, pretty much. What he says is, do or do not. There is no try. That was a terrible impression. But he says, do or do not. There is no try. In fact, Yoda, I'm trying very hard. And you should recognize that. All right. Back off, little green man. So there you go. Just a little thought on movie quotes when it comes to growth mindset. So let's talk about the barriers. Let's get on board with what we're talking about today. In fact, we're just coming up to the half hour point. So let's have a little news break. And then when we come back, we're going to jump straight into growth mindset. Zoe's dropping in some awesome comments. So let's have some news. Let's come back and get our teeth into the barriers of growth mindset and move on to this important segment of the show. Here is the news with our new host, Sebastian Sagnier.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Sebastian Sagnier.
I am Sebastian Sagnier, and this is Teachers Talk Radio with the news. The First Lady Jill Biden will be welcoming students across America to the nation's capital in a virtual trip to Washington, D.C. It is the latest virtual trip produced by Discovery Education, a global edtech leader. The Shadow's Child Poverty Minister, Wes Streeting, has warned that the government will face the impact of what he called recent grotesque school budget cuts. He also revealed he is undergoing treatment for kidney cancer. The popular Netflix show, Sex Education, is rumoured to be aired this June or July. This comes at a time of much discussion over the government's new RSE curriculum that is now compulsory for all schools. This is Teachers Talk Radio, and that was the news with me, Sebastian Sagnier.
Live from London, this is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Collum on Teachers Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Brunch with me, Graham Colham. We're on our second episode of talking about growth mindset. It's our final episode. We're talking about the barriers and how to overcome the barriers to growth mindset. I'm going to give you child A, child B, and child C, and I'm asking you, as fellow educators, how can we get them to reach their aspirations, kick down those walls, and move forward? We're live. Live from London. This is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Colham on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/TT Radio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TT Radio. Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. Wherever you're listening to us from, whether you are on the Podbean app live on Sunday morning, if you're listening back on the Podbean app, or maybe you're listening back on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, maybe you're on Twitter scrolling through and you've seen a little ticker tape video and you're listening on Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook. Welcome, all of you. I'm Graham Colham. You can find me on Twitter at Graham Colham VO, and you're listening to Teachers Talk Radio, which you can find at TT Radio 2021 on Twitter and all over the place. We're on Instagram. We got our own website, ttradio.org. Get listening, get involved. If you are live, if you are currently in your Sunday morning, or in fact, I should say Sunday afternoon, we've just made the switch. Welcome to your Sunday afternoon, kids. If you are listening on Sunday afternoon, then you can talk to me directly, okay? On the Podbean app, you head over to the Podbean app, get it downloaded, get it opened. You can drop comments to me directly, which I can read out and respond to. You can also call in live to the show and talk to me directly. I would love to hear your voice if you have opinions on growth mindset and how to overcome the many hurdles of it. There are many hurdles. I'm going to pick them apart in a moment. Is it not yet afternoon? Khalil says it's not the afternoon. Oh, I got overexcited. It is 11:30. Sorry, Khalil. You're right. Many mini Graham shames throughout my life, to be honest, not just this show. Here we go. We're going to get into the barrier to growth mindset. But before I get into my angle, Zoe has dropped an awesome comment here. She says, I worry GM has been mutated. That's growth mindset. We aren't one or the other. And that is what makes it hard to teach. Yes, this is so true. I think using metacognitive approaches, which explore tools available and previous successes in teach table, we need to focus on small steps and highlighting processes, not blanket statements. That is the hard thing, isn't it? That we like to say, oh, this person is fixed mindset, this person is growth mindset. And I'm guilty of that as well, for sure. And actually, we need to see there's a fluid process. I guess a bit like mental health, where sometimes you're on a good run and you're doing it really well, and other days you'll accidentally slip back into not such good habits. And it's the same with growth mindset. Sometimes we can really engage with our areas to improve and engage with our challenges, know what we failed and enjoy failure. And other days it'll really feel like a kick to us when we're down. So a really, really good point there to actually see it as a fluid thing to be managed consistently and not something to be achieved. Because actually that in itself is quite anti-growth mindset, isn't it? To say you are growth mindset, you know, it's another label we'd stick on us. The irony there in calling someone growth mindset and somebody else not is anti-growth mindset in itself. So pretty funny little link there. So it says it's linked closely to feelings of success and motivation. Yes, indeed. And self-belief, I think, is a big part of it. I think those with self-belief are going to have low aspirations, are going to have a low motivation, low sense of success, even when they do well. They won't enjoy it as much because they don't believe it belongs to them. So, loads and loads of things to pick apart. Mal says it also depends on what you are doing. We all have limiting beliefs in some areas. It's true. We're all developing. But trying to keep that mind open and ears open as well is key. Domain specific, Zoe says. Let me talk about some barriers I've encountered. And then hopefully soon we'll get into our child A, B and C. At 12 o'clock on the dot, we've got Graham Shame. We got the news and Graham Shame. And then towards the end of the show, I'll be sharing with you a Teachers Talk Radio competition where you could win £50. £50 for you. And not only that, you could get your video. You'll get a video of you played at a high-profile education event, which is exciting, but we'll get to that later. So barriers to growth mindset. Parents, I'm going to say, is one of them. I started on this a little bit yet last week. I think that depending on the age and depending on the types of parents, and of course, it doesn't have to be parents all the time, but often parents can be guilty, being that they you know, so want the best for their children, they can sometimes, their sense of protecting their child, their sense of not wanting their child to experience pain, can be a barrier to promoting growth mindset at home, right? And so I, you know, a lot of parents' evenings, I've sat down and I'll say, this kid is, you know, you can see this child is not as confident in their maths as they are in their English. And they go, oh, it's just like his dad, just like his dad. You know, that's why he's not good at his maths. Oh, yeah, I've never been good at spelling neither. So that's why the kid isn't good at spelling. And of course, what they're doing there is they're softening the blow for themselves. They're creating excuses for their child and embedding a mindset that there's a factual label on this person, that there's a reason you're not good at something. It's not an area that could be fluidly improved or adjusted. It's simply a genetic trait that has been passed down, which aside from dyslexia or some, you know, more serious situations, then actually we know that that's not the case as educators. And, you know, I've got to say myself as a teacher, taking some pride in taking some kids through that, you know, at the start of the year, if a parent says that to you, you kind of can set that as a target, like, right, this person thinks it's not possible, let's do it. Do you know what I mean? Let's really get this child to be like a maths pro by the end of the year, or just really confident in their maths. And there's nothing better than when that happens. Mal says parents can clip their children's wings. Yeah, not a nice image, is it? But it's definitely true. And, you know, and I've got to be mindful myself. Get, you know, as my kid gets older, I'm going to be mindful that I know my instinct will be to protect and to go, oh, it's okay, or, you know, don't worry about it, these things happen. But actually, we've really got to try and push ourselves out of our comfort zone, don't we, as parents and as teachers, to keep that, because I do think we have it as teachers as well. We can worry about being harsh with kids sometimes, we can worry about giving them that honest feedback, but there's nothing healthier for them in the long run, nothing better to prepare them for the world than to give them that feedback. Simon Collum says, the amount of parents who, when seeing their child has created some great art, will then say, well, I can't draw to save my life. I always respond with, there's always time to start. No age limit for learning, drawing and art. Yeah, true. No age limit for a whole lot of skills. The only skills I think where there could be an age limit are the kind of more physical. I always think, like, it might be a bit late for me to become a gymnast, but you know, you never know. You never know. Teachers Talk Radio first. You could have an Olympian gymnast on the host panel here in the future, maybe. But no, I would say there are physical limitations. But beyond physical, I think, yeah, when it comes to skills, loads of skills I've taken up in my life. I actually think since I've learned about growth mindset, I've started engaging with, I wonder genuinely, and this popped into my head last week, I wonder whether I'd be on here now doing Teachers Talk Radio if I hadn't learned about growth mindset. Because there was definitely a period where I said no to it. And I thought, no, I'm not confident enough. I don't have enough to say. I don't know what I do. And I denied it. And then my wife was kind of like, you know, you should have a go for this reason, that reason, this reason. I had to then engage with myself a little bit and think, well, why am I closing that door for myself? Why am I, you know, is it something that actually, if I put myself out there and try it, could it go well? What's the worst that happens if it doesn't go well? You know, and then it's continuing, you know, even now being here on the air, privileged, honored to be here amongst you all. You know, but it continues to be something to reflect on and to engage with failures and go, oh, this went well, this didn't go well, try and do that better next week. You know, so it's just another little area. But yeah, so what was it about age limits and not being old enough to do things? Not that I'm terribly old, but I'm on my way. Let's have a little look. Zoe says modeling, learning and development. Yes, indeed. Modeling, learning and development is so important. Teachers have to do that. We have to fail. We have to get comfortable with failures if we want kids to. That's so important. And I see so many teachers who still go try to create the illusion in front of their class that they're like the ones who don't make mistakes. Oh, don't worry, you know, that was on purpose. Oh, you know, was testing if you noticed that. And all those little, even if it's a joke, you know, it's a cover-up of failure. So yes, please fail in front of your class, let your class know when you fail, and enjoy it, promote that experience that you gain from failure. Let's have a little look. Mal says, just more shame if it goes badly, but you're used to that. Right, yes, for me, of course. If the radio station, yeah, if it goes terribly, then I can just add it to my list of Graham shame, and then the following week I've got a bit of the show, you know, covered, so that's good. Yes, indeed. Noreen says, not confident enough. Was that about, did I say that about the radio thing? Yeah, I don't know if I said that about myself and that surprised you. Yes, indeed. I know I can talk for England, though. That's the one thing that's a skill set I currently have, which I can engage with. So that was a starting point, I guess. Alas, enough about me. Let's get back to growth mindset. So barriers, we talked about parents being a barrier, lack of aspiration and self-belief. Now, that can have some social elements to it, because it can be too cool for school, right? We can be appear cool with our friends, and it can't be in some environments, depending on your school, it might not be seen as a good thing to try hard, to engage, to stand out amongst classmates. And so that also can provide a barrier. And I think that comes somewhat, yes, there's a few different areas where that can come down to. One is the school need to work on you know, promoting aspiration and recognizing achievements in others so that's seen positively amongst children, and making achievements matter as well, not just saying, oh, you're better because you did this thing, but actually, you know, talking about the reason why they're respected and how that's going to be a thing that will be good when they get older, and, you know, giving children a reason to maybe go, oh, fair enough, that's pretty good. A lot of schools, though, that even have a good environment might have some kids that have lack of aspiration, you know, don't have very high self-belief. And, you know, that Mal has dropped in the comments cultural reasons too. There are loads of things that could fit into that. And then Pauline has come in with, you can talk for England as a family, don't we know it? Although I think you're great at this. Thank you very much. Peer pressure and not understanding what underlies success. Yes, indeed. Also, I think that lack of aspiration can be a defense mechanism. It can be a protective, you know, to do that, I'm too cool for school. It actually means you don't then put yourself out there. It's defensive. It means I'm not going to risk embarrassing myself in front of people if I act too cool for school and I never risk anything. Then that's socially a safer place to be in. And so, again, we want to recognize the braveness in putting yourself out there and the quality, and, you know, that actually goes a lot further and hopefully engage children with that as they go on. Mal says there isn't a history of aspirations in certain communities. Yes, true. And pass that on to their kids. Exactly. And if people, you know, look to their immediate role models and say, right, that's what I will be like when I get older, which I think we all do, to be honest. When I was a kid, I'd look at my mum and dad and I'd imagine I'd be something like them. I think that's very common. And obviously, depending on your mum and dad's situation, the communities that they live in, and not even mum and dad, it could be just a social standard, depending on where you might live or what context you might live, then that can become kind of toxic on the way you view your own future. Boys, if I don't try, I don't fail. Yes, exactly right. Interesting to single boys there, Zoe. I do get that, and certainly it is much more common. But of course, it can be in both genders. I've seen certainly both genders engage with that, but it's certainly much more common. And in my child A, B, and C examples, I'll get to later. One of my examples is certainly a boy example, which is very much that if I don't try, I don't fail. Defensive fear of failure. It's a massive wall, isn't it? It's a massive hurdle for us to overcome. So I'm going to get into very soon kind of environments that can overcome it, schools that can overcome it, strategies for overcoming these problems. So stay on listening to get into some solutions very soon. Sorry to stereotype. No. It's a fair stereotype. I'm sure if you didn't say it, I probably would have brought it up anyway, as it's one of these things, unfortunately. And there's further, you know, the stereotypes don't end there, unfortunately. There are statistics that back up certain things. And with my child A, B, and C examples, you know, there are some stereotypes that kind of certainly follow in there. There's some white British examples in there, not all of them. But again, white British boys, famously a demographic that will aim low. And the reasons for that can be many, many, many. But yes, she says an observation from experience. Exactly right. And I would second that experience as well, unfortunately, sad as it is. Another barrier to growth mindset, valuing scores and results rather than the process, right? Everybody wants the sticker. Everybody wants the 20 out of 20 spelling score, but not everybody is okay with the process that goes into it. Like, how many kids do you know who put themselves forward for things and they don't engage with the effort? They just think, if I put myself forward, I might get it. Right. We always have certain kind of things every year that say we have, you know, year group leaders and things like that, you know, certain roles in the class. And you get children who kind of just treat everything like a lottery. Like, they put their hand up to take on a role, and it's not based on kind of the commitment of it. It's not based on the effort that goes into it or the qualities that they've shown or that they're trying to show at that point. It's just like a random, maybe I'll get picked and that'll feel good, right? People just want to get picked. People just want that moment of, I feel special, but they're not always thinking about the effort that goes into it. And so how can we shift that? How can we shift the attention away from the award and the title and more so about the characteristics that go into earning those, you know? And earning is a big part of it, isn't it? Mal says she agrees with Zoe about the boys, stereotype. Boys expected to do well, low expectations of girls. Interesting, both afraid to fail, so don't try. Yeah, that's a nice further angle to it, Mal. Thanks for dropping it in. Let's have a little look at some of the other barriers before we talk about solutions. Society valuing labels of people and success rather than the full picture. You know, we always see, you know, newspapers are praising or attacking people who in a moment might be succeeding or failing, but not often looking at the big picture. And, you know, when we see profiles about people's success, it doesn't always pull in the actual biography of they failed here, they failed there, all of this didn't go well. Even though those are the most interesting bits, aren't they? Those are the bits, if you read biographies, those are always the bits that are most impressive and most jaw-dropping when you go, wow, they came through all of those failures and they still kept pushing. We had some Olympians come into our school once, and they, you know, it was really interesting. I forget what their Olympians in, long jump, high jump, something like this. But they, the point that they said is when they were in school, they just went for like all the clubs. Like they were in drama club, they're in chess club, and they were doing all, they just were trying so many different things. And then And that approach, you don't see that in Olympians. You always think, oh, when did they start that skill? Oh, they started that skill when they were young. Oh, how long have they been working hard at that skill? But actually the mindset behind just putting yourself out there, going out of your comfort zone, trying new things, surely that's more important than what we want to promote, more so than just having one goal for yourself and going for it, going for it, going for it. Because you know what happens when you have one goal for yourself and you put all your eggs into that basket. Well, you're sure to drop that basket and break those eggs. So, yeah, the kind of the wide range of skills and putting yourself in many different directions. A bit like an entrepreneur or, you know, someone who's, they say people who are, you know, have good kind of revenue and income. It's not about doing one thing well, it's about having many, many streams, many, many different areas where you could lean into depending on where you're at. Sorry to put a financial capitalist edge on it there, just struck a memory when looking at like business leaders talking about growth mindset and things like that. Girls Assume, these are some comments on the Podbean app. If you want to drop a comment, download the Podbean app, get on the Podbean app and you can talk to me directly and I'll read them out on the air and we can talk. You can also press a round gray icon in the Podbean app and you can call me directly. In a moment, we're going to be talking about schools and environments that succeed with growth mindset. And I'd love to hear about yours. So if you're listening on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on anywhere else, then feel free to hop over to the Podbean app and call in directly to share your angle. Maybe you want to tell us off about some of these stereotypes of boys and girls. Feel free to call in and give us your angle on that as well. Further to the conversation about boys and girls, girls assume they will fail or not achieve much. Talent over hard work, tiny picture. Yes, yeah, sometimes there is that. And the girl, you know, depending on the language in the school, there's all the talk of you do this like a girl. Yeah, if someone doesn't do well in sports, oh, you're playing like a girl, you kicked that like a girl, you screamed like a girl. So what effect is that going to have on girls and their aspirations and their mindsets as they're growing up? Not good, is it? Not good. But hopefully we're seeing a shift in that. It comes down to us, doesn't it? It comes down on us to shift it and talk about it and engage with the dialogue of what that says about an individual if you use language like a girl. And you know, and of course that kind of language can go a lot further. I'm actually having a conversation with my year sixes this week about insults and, you know, the kind of some of the meanings behind them and things like that. That's maybe a conversation for a different day. Pauline says, I disagree that girls assume they will fail. Depends on the girl. Of course. But when you speaking generally, it's a risk. It's a danger. And I think it's good to be aware of the danger that girls might, you know, where boys sometimes will set low aspirations as a social safety net, you know, and girls may do the same. But then girls in a different area might be beaten down by some of the dialogue around girls, you know, and even seeing it, you know, even if they engage with the outside world and they hear a lot about the glass ceiling and things like this, you know, you can engage with that in two ways, can't you? You can engage with it and say, right, we're going to overcome that. That's not going to happen to me and I'm going to use it to motivate me further. Or it can depress you, you know, and it can pull you down and it can make you say, well, what's the point? So yeah, of course it always depends. Zoe says, but always dealing in generalizations when talking about this. Unfortunately, you do have to generalize to some degree, and we be mindful. We've got to highlight, yes, it's generalization, but you've got to start somewhere, right? Mal says, by age six, girls feel boys are better than girls. Oof. That's depressing, isn't it? I'd love to know where that information's coming from and what the data was. But yeah, girls feel boys are better than girls. You know, it's something that I don't see it lots in my class. I'll talk about the solutions and the environments that I have in my own school in a moment. But the way we perceive ourselves, you know, gender and any other kind of realm of labels we can stick on ourselves is pretty interesting. That's nice. She's just referencing where she's had that information. So the statement by age six, girls feel boys are better than girls, is from the TV program No More Girls and Boys. Sounds like a relevant and interesting TV program. Perhaps all of us in here talking about gender should have a little watch of that and see what we pick up from it. And thank you for sharing, Mal. Good work referencing your source. I'm always terrible at that, so good job you. Right, moving on to any other final barriers, negative responses to harsh or real growth mindset language. So when you do try and apply growth mindset in a classroom, parents might not be very happy with the language that's being used about failure, about, you know, trying harder, or about the things that we are doing well. However, the kids might not respond well. They might think, oh, that's not a nice thing to say, even though it is, and even though it's aspirational to engage with your failures, they might not see that whole picture. And so it becomes our job to try and engage that with them, to try and engage them with that as well. History teacher by trade, Mal says. She knows her stuff. She always backs up her sources. Don't worry about Mal. Anytime she hits you with a stat, she's going to know it. She's going to know it. Mal is a fellow host, in case you don't know. She does the Monday breakfast show, she does, and it is awesome. It's a great way to start your morning. It's good humoured, informative, often has a little reflective edge on it that makes me go, I didn't know that. So Mal is here in the room right now, and she will be here hosting tomorrow morning if you are up for that on your Monday morning. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. So let me move on the discussion slightly, because we're coming up to the hour of 12. And before we get there, I'd like to talk about our next phase, which is about overcoming the barriers and how do we overcome the barriers. My own school, I'm going to start with. I'm going to talk about some of the things we've done. We're not there. You know, not every child in our school is growth mindset and aspirational and setting the world alight. But we're on our way. I think we were on our way pre-COVID. And now it's going to be our job to keep pull us back onto that track as well, because like I say, priorities can shift and move around. Our school has approached embedding growth mindset in a few ways. Firstly, our head is well into it. She's fully signed up to it, loves it, talked to me multiple times as an individual. I know she talked to many other staff as an individual about growth mindset. And so it started in that way. She kind of felt for where we were at, who's really behind it, who maybe didn't know much about it. She put myself and another staff member on a growth mindset workshop, and that was a single day where we went out, basically got our head around it, took on some ideas about how it could be applied in the school. We came back to school. There were a few other, and shared it with the staff. There were a few other staff members who had similar but different workshops and different angles. From those, we surveyed across staff and with a mind to think about growth mindset. We talked about qualities and things that should be the foundational kind of principles of the school. And so we had five kind of growth mindset principles that came out from that starting point. And then they kind of had them put up on posters, and we made it really the ethos of the school are these five principles. So five characteristics, and we don't call them growth mindset characteristics, to be fair, but that's what it's all about. So it's important for the kids to not always, I think, to not always see it as growth mindset, and kind of death by vocabulary. Do you know what I mean? Actually, just to make it a natural part of the environment is important, and not always label it as growth mindset, because then I think they'll see it as a discrete subject. Oh, we're doing history now. Oh, now we're talking about growth mindset. And we don't want that, right? Let's have a little look. There's a few comments before I move on to some of these characteristics in my school. The Global Equality Collective was co-founded by Graham Andre, who was the teacher in that TV program. Okay, that's good to know. It was very interesting, especially Graham's part. See, I just read in Zoe's comment there, she put, it was very interesting, especially Graham's part. I thought, ooh, a nice compliment. I'll read this aloud. But it wasn't me. It was Graham Andre. Harsh for me. But I will engage with my areas to improve. Alas, my five growth mindset characteristics. I wonder, people in the room listening live, feel free to drop in the comments what you think some of those characteristics would be. Founding principles of a school, five single qualities that we want children to have and we try and promote throughout everything we do in our school. Anybody think they can guess one or two of them? Type them in the comments. You can call in if you like, and I'll share them with you in a call. Up to you. Anybody feel like dropping some in? I'll tell you one. The first one is patience. All right. So around the school, we have these posters. The five words are all on these schools. They're on a tree, and then coming off from the tree are all quotes related to what people say, and the language of growth mindset and things that reflect enacting those qualities. So patience is one of the qualities. You think you got any other ones, people? Any other ones? Perseverance is another one. patience, perseverance. Perseverance, such an important one, such a good word to get kids familiar with and to get them aware that it's key to their learning. Resilience is the next one. Resilience, you know, taking the hit and moving forward like Rocky. Self-belief is the fourth, about believing in yourself. Not confidence, by the way. Confidence is not one. And I made a bit of a campaign to not have confidence on there. I think confidence is overvalued in our society. But self-belief is a much better alternative, I think. And then the last one, aspiration. So the five qualities in our school that promote growth mindset, but they're not called growth mindset qualities. They're just the NELMS values. Patience, perseverance, resilience, self-belief, aspiration. Those are the five values that we believe are key to, you know, if we can get kids familiar with those words and understanding the value in those words, then that was a starting point for us to kind of get some. They're not posters. We had like these, they put some money into them, to be fair. We had a teacher create the artwork and put all the words around them in a really beautiful way. And then we had them made up on kind of these big, thick plastic kind of, they got like a transparent part to them, and they're really beautiful things we have in multiple parts around the school that are often seen by the kids. And so that was a starting point. And then after that was established, after we had those up and the kind of the ethos was starting to be brought up, it was given to us as teachers to make sure that we would bring those up in assemblies. So where we had our daily assemblies back in the good old days, you know, we'd make it our jobs to every now and again weave in a growth mindset angle or one of those characteristics to our assembly to help the kids get to know them, to understand them, hear stories related to them, hear real people's lives related to those values, and just really embed them as much as we can. So there was staff training in the school, there were values picked out, and then those values were embedded through assemblies and class conversations. Further to that, there was growth mindset workshops booked for the year groups and for children. And so I was a year six teacher at the time. It was at the start of year six where we really wanted them to really engage with what growth mindset was for their year six journey. And we had people come in for the day. It was a whole day. And they would set them different tasks to do with growth mindset. They talk about what growth mindset was. And then, so for example, I spoke last week about a juggling part of the workshop where the guy came in, he spoke about what growth mindset is and that everything's about learning a process. Even things we think might be impossible and that we couldn't do, we can learn if we follow a process carefully. He then proceeded to take us through 8 steps to learning juggling. And by the end of it, most kids are having some success with the process of juggling. So they're getting to engage with that idea that actually this is just a mindset. I thought at the start of today, I wouldn't be able to juggle. And now that I followed the process and taken some time and focus, it's starting to come together. And that's really key. That's really important. Of course, I've been talking with my own kids lots about my Rubik's Cube stuff and how I learned that when I thought I might not be able to. And that it's never too late to learn a new skill, just like Simon said earlier in the comments. Let's see, further things in this school. So we had staff training. We had the 5 characteristics we picked up on. We have training or workshops with the kids. Let me have a little look. And then there's the head teacher who always leads it and pushes it and re-emphasizes it in assemblies, in staff meetings, in whole school, you know, discussions, and reminding us to, in our PSHE lessons, kind of pushing for that. Make sure you're having these conversations with the kids. Last element to it that I could think of when noting down the elements to embedding growth mindset is when you're talking to kids about their own aspirations in school. So when you're picking roles for kids, so for example, we have, you know, leaders of certain areas who will usually be year 6 or year 5, or there'll be school counselors who are through the different year groups. And when picking those and when talking about, oh, it's the time we're going to be nominating these and choosing our leaders in the school, we would then again engage with the conversation about those characteristics, right? We're not looking for people who aren't doing these things. We need these people to be resilient. We want them to be able to persevere through challenges. We want them to be patient so they can take part in these roles. And you're kind of just constantly coming back to these characteristics and shine a light on them. But it is important to me to not always say those characteristics are growth mindset characteristics. They're just, you know, essentially founding principles of education in our school. And it's a multi-tiered approach to it. We're all going at these from different angles and all being reminded to come at them in different ways as much as possible, so that teachers who aren't so au fait with growth mindset are still being reminded and getting their own kind of staff training and CPD on what it is as well. And it's around their environment too. Let's have a little look. Zoe has asked, have they then started to do this? Absolutely. I've been in the school 10 years. The first 4 years, 5 years, that program was not pushed forward. And then about 5 years ago onwards, they've really made this push for the five characteristics and growth mindset. And there's absolutely been a visible difference. This, in fact, I might have the years slightly out because my year six this year, I think, are the first year group to kind of be in the school the whole time with that. And there really is such great characteristics and, so, you know, some things where I can see the classes I started with where there was a lot of social barriers and a lot of too cool for school and a lot of low expectations on year sixes sometimes when it would be performances. Oh, the boys won't really do this. Oh, they won't really engage with that. And now, you know, we got singing, dancing, we got really confident girls, really like kick-ass girls and boys. And, you know, there are, of course, kids. And when I give you my child A, B and C after the news, those children are ones who, you know, are facing those barriers recently. They're recent examples of children I've worked with who face some barriers to their growth mindset. So it's by no means fully established. Of course, I don't think it can ever be fully established. It's just, it's not in the nature of us as human beings to perfectly have a, you know, 300 or so children who are all, we're all growth mindset, we're all aspiring, but, you know, we aim for it. And it's certainly taken us on the right track. I would say it's on the right track. Is it that the staff mindset that mattered more than students? I think so. And again, that still could improve. So the question has been asked to me, is the staff mindset more important than the student mindset? I think you can't get the student mindset without the staff mindset. And it's not there yet. There are still staff who might be reluctant or see it as a little bit of a fad. But generally speaking, you can feel that the conversation is where it should be. And a lot of the time when I speak to children about growth mindset or certain angles on how we learn, they will often say, oh, another teacher had said that, you know, from year five or from year four. Oh, that's what that teacher said, which is always really reassuring. I spoke last week about how a barrier can be if you are comfortable with failure and you try and promote failure lots in your classroom. If your kids don't see that in all their classes, then they see you as just not very good. Right. You need all the staff to be saying, we're all failing. We're all not there yet. And that's OK. You know, all it takes is one staff to be saying, oh, I'm actually not failing. I've got it all right. I know it all. And then the kids are going, well, which staff is it? Is that one just not a very good staff member, the one who's failing? Or is that one making it up? And so, you know, so it does need to be fully embedded with staff. Please feel free to call in if you have an angle on this stuff. We are about to head to the news, and then we're going to talk about child A, child B, and child C. I'm going to give you three example children, different, quite different example children, and the barriers that they face. And then I want to put it to you guys as listeners, as commenters, as potential callers. I want to put it to you guys to think about solving the barriers of child A, B and C. But first we have the news, and then of course we have Graham Shane, which I've barely thought about today. Right, let's see, where's our news with the wonderful new newsreader Sebastian Sagnier. Here he comes.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Sebastian Sagnier.
I am Sebastian Sagnier, and this is Teachers Talk Radio with the news. The First Lady Jill Biden will be welcoming students across America to the nation's capital in a virtual trip to Washington, D.C. It is the latest virtual trip produced by Discovery Education, a global edtech leader. The Shadow's Child Poverty Minister, Wes Streeting, has warned that the government will face the impact of what he called recent grotesque school budget cuts. He also revealed he is undergoing treatment for kidney cancer. The popular Netflix show, Sex Education, is rumoured to be aired this June or July. This comes at a time of much discussion over the government's new RSE curriculum that is now compulsory for all schools. This is Teachers Talk Radio, and that was the news with me, Sebastian Sagnier.
And now it's time for your favourite part of the show.
Graham Shane.
I'll say it's your favourite part of the show. It's clearly my favourite part of the show. It's Graham Shane. It's the time of the show where I share with you something terrible I've done in my life so you can feel better about your life. Or if you've done it as well, you can simply connect and feel better that you're not the only fool on this planet. It's I'm here too. Let's connect, guys. So Graham Shame this week is short but sweet. Short but sweet. There's a foreign edge to it. You know, the borders are opening up, as some people are saying. We're thinking about holidays abroad. So I'm bringing a foreign element into my shame this week. I was on, when was this? Always, I like to place you guys in history. It must have been about 2011, going back 10 years, lordy lord. I was on my first ever holiday with my now wife. And we were in Italy. We'd been there about a day. We'd had a hell of a day, very bad day traveling in. And I famously, and there's other shames related to this, I'm famously quite bad at booking things on holidays. And it's become, since this holiday, it's become a point of fear for my wife that whenever we're driving up to a hotel or getting to where we should be staying, my wife is thinking, oh boy, how much is he going to have gotten this wrong? But anyway, so we were in Italy and we were having, it was probably one of our first beers. Like, we'd gotten there, we had a really long journey in, poorly organized by me. We still hadn't gotten to our hotel room, and that had another ridiculous thing to do with that, but we're not going to talk about that. We were sat having a beer, really nice, in the sun, soaking up, you know, first couple's holiday. I think it was her first holiday with another half. And so it was very, very nice indeed. Now, I don't know any Italian, but I'm au fait with a little bit of French, a little bit of Spanish, sure. And I know the general, you know, I know prego and kind of occasional terms that you might use to survive in Italy. Not as much as I thought, though, clearly. So we are having this lovely beer, and the guy, the waiter, comes up to see if we would like another beer. We're done at this point. We think, right, we better start finding where our hotel is, because we're a little bit lost at this point. Had a beer, better start finding where we're staying. So he comes up, and I suddenly find myself that I need to request the bill. I need to request the receipt. And I have no, and also where we were, it turned out, wasn't a holiday place at all. It was very much real Italy, which now, you know, at the end of the holiday, we were like, this is amazing, because it's such a genuine, you know, real Italy. Like, the food was amazing and everything was amazing because it was genuine. It wasn't a holiday resort or anything. But anyway, this guy had come up and he spoke in Italian to us if we wanted any more beer. My wife knew a little bit. So she was saying kind of, I can't even think of the Italian now for two beers, but she knew that. So she was on saying two more beers. It came to ask for the bill and it came to me. And so I looked at him rather relaxed and confident. I said, una biletto? Biletto. Biletto was the word I used asking for the receipt in Italy. The biletto, please. The biletto, por favor. It's not the word for the bill in Italy, funnily enough. And I wasn't joking. It wasn't like me being one of these horrible British tourists being rude. I just thought I had engaged with some ancient memory of my learning. And I thought, I've got this. Una biletto, por favor. Or probably isn't even por favor. I forget, prego or whatever it might have been. Biletto is what it was. So that was probably one of the first times my wife really experienced my shame, my wife-to-be. We'll start calling you Basil. Mal says she'll start calling me Basil. Yes. Oh, that was a bad one. I have to say, that one I really felt in the moment, because instantly my wife like cracked up. She was like, this is ridiculous. That is so embarrassing. And then she swiftly came in and established. I think I did the hand gesture, so I think he figured it out. But when I said biletto, you know what? When I said biletto, I remember now, the guy laughed, the waiter. He didn't even speak very, you know, he was a hardcore Italian, didn't even speak fantastic English, but he knew that was ridiculous. So, una biletto, please, brethren.
Graham Shame.
Ah, yes, the joys of foreign travel while being an embarrassment. It's good times, good times. But what can I say? I would love to say that now I know the word for receipt in Italian and I learnt from it, but actually I can't recall it right now. In the moment, we did then Google it soon after and find out what it was, but it's since escaped me. So una biletto it shall be for the future. And let's see, Mal, the universal hand symbol for the bill is something I use everywhere. Me too, still. Now, without guessing the word for bill, I just do the symbol, and that usually is enough. So Live and learn, live and learn. Growth mindset, people. What can I say? Pauline says, let you get the bill at our next meal out. Yes, indeed. Yeah, if it's in Italy, perhaps. Recito. I might have followed it with that as well. Billetto? Recito? No? Who knows? Who knows? So there we go. There's a little bit of that. Now we're moving on to a key part of the show. We only have 20 minutes, but we're talking about child A, child B, child C. And I'm hoping that you guys are going to have some solutions for me, because these are real examples. They might be compilations of real examples of people, but they are very realistic people who may well exist in the world. Child A, B, and C. How do we solve child A, B, and C? Okay, here's child A. I'm going to give you their profile, and I want you to think about how we engage with these barriers. I've spoken a little bit about how my own school engages with some barriers. We had a little bit of a chat about embedding the mindset from a many-pronged approach, right? We have values in the school. We have staff training. We have year group workshops, and language really reinforced throughout the year in many different ways, assemblies and all sorts. But it has to be really hardcore, and I think the head has to majorly be on board for it to work. But without that, or maybe inclusive of that as well, what else would you do? For child A, who, as a, just so you know, he is an example of being in this school and has managed to get through it and not develop the growth mindset. So here's some details about child A. Low self-belief, okay? Very low self-belief, low aspirations. Doesn't take self seriously. So he's not a class clown, but he laughs off a lot of criticism, failure, any conversations about developing. It's a bit of a laugh, a little bit of a, you know, under the breath, kind of excusing self, low self-belief, low aspirations. Not a really consistent home. So parents don't engage very much with parents. No parents at parents' evening. Low self-belief, low aspirations. Doesn't take self seriously. Laughs off criticism. Also, friends outside of school are a big influence and are quite toxic masculine. Kind of, we're lads, so we get in fights and we can be silly. What would you do? What would you do to help this boy? He doesn't think much of himself or his future. You can see that as he goes to secondary school, he's going to be vulnerable because socially, he doesn't have a really strong sense of self and he doesn't have a lot of pride in himself. He's happy. He's a happy kid. He enjoys coming into school. He's not reluctant coming into school, but he simply doesn't have the tools at the moment to really engage with his areas to improve. He has devices that kind of distract him from his areas to improve, or he accepts his failures as part of who he is, and he sticks a label on himself saying, I'm a low achiever. What would you do? I put that to you as listeners. I'd love for someone to call in if you want to engage with child A. Call in, let me know. Mal has dropped in, says get him on to a student leadership program. That's actually a really good point. Yes, give him a sense of responsibility. Give him something. Now, that could go a few ways, of course. He might, if he doesn't choose to do it, right, if he doesn't put himself forward for it, then he may well just opt out somewhat and start, you know, be late to meetings and drop the ball a little bit on things, forget stuff. He is one of these who's quite forgetful, is sometimes very late into school and things like that. But I do think that's a really good angle on it, is giving him a taste of responsibility and letting him see a shift in the way he's perceived and perhaps own a shift in the way he could be perceived and see himself in a different light. That's a really nice angle. Thank you, Mal. Zoe's come in. She says, constantly remind him of his successes, build on the positive, unpick where it was successful. Yeah, absolutely. Where there are the positives, build on those. And what do you think about the areas to improve? The thing is, I'm quite harsh teacher in that. I will say to him, look, you know, I talked to him about him laughing things off, and I talked to him about not engaging with his areas to improve. So is that harsh of me? Should I just lean into the positives, or is it, do you think it's a good thing to try and get him familiar with? We're still on a journey, we're still not there yet. You know, I do personally, but I'd love for anybody to come in with different angles. Mal says, learning mentor to help develop his self-awareness, self-esteem and confidence. That's a nice idea. We don't have learning mentors in general in our school, so it would be something to begin. But that idea of maybe helping others develop their learning would have caused him to reflect on his own. That's a nice idea. Very meta, actually, very meta. You can do both. Yes, give the positives and the areas to improve. I agree with that, Zoe, and I certainly aspire to do that, giving both the positives and the areas to improve. And he does take them on day to day. The only one that I really find hard to establish with him is the, you know, it's okay to take yourself seriously. So say he's always laughing. And even when I say, you know, it's all right, take yourself seriously, you don't need to laugh it off, he will be laughing to himself, looking down at his table as I say that, kind of shrugging slightly, not in a rude way. Not, he's a very, very lovely kid. Anyway, and some elements might be combined from other kids. That's an interesting one. I love these ideas. Maybe that's a strength, Mal says. I'm not quite sure what you mean in terms of the strength of his being lovely. Being lovely is a strength, for sure, for him and for all of us. Make sure it isn't a big leap for him so he can cross distance. Yes, so achievable goals. Yes, indeed. Little connected blocks. I agree with that. Laughing things off could be a strength. Yeah, I don't know, Mal. I like your optimism. I think it's very much a defense mechanism, you know, from my experience. Laughing things off, it could be, but for me, it matches with the low aspirations. It matches with a self-fulfilling kind of, I'm not as good as others. Do you know what I mean? So I'll laugh off and that's okay. But it could be a strength in some context, for sure. It could be a strength. Let's talk about child B, because time will run away. Child B, very different child. High achiever when young, okay, now works incredibly slowly in all tasks to avoid the threat of challenge. So he does good work, but incredibly, incredibly slow. So he doesn't get on to the really hard questions that might challenge him. So say in maths, he'll basically get to question two. And he might do question one and two very well in this book, but other kids are on question 14, 15, 16, pushing, obviously, the elevating the challenge. So incredibly slow worker, high achiever when young, currently facing a barrier to his development because he's not pushing himself beyond. He shows potential when competing in class. So usually is most motivated and most quick at achieving his goals when competing, when doing, you know, flipping whiteboards to show answers or working through a class challenge. He's suddenly very engaged, very motivated. He's not dyslexic, but dyslexia in the family is in a thread in the family. That was shared with me this week that I didn't know about the individual. Dyslexia in the family, and it clarified for me why his parents are very, very proud and reinforce fixed mindset with him. So high achiever when young, currently has a barrier because he works incredibly slowly to kind of fulfill a sense of I am correct rather than going out of his comfort zone. Potential when competing, not dyslexic, but dyslexic. Dyslexia is in his family, and therefore parents can be very protective and proud and reinforce a fixed mindset with him. Let's see some of the feedback in the room. Explore his aspirations, give him a focus. For sure, he has some big hobbies that he, you know, he kind of, that I will talk with him about and talk about, well, what does he want to do when he's older with those? And, you know, there are those, but he doesn't often really push himself with them. He has, like, I want the amazing stuff, but there's no real process to reaching it. Fearing failing, did well and tripped with increased challenge. Yes, indeed, that's true, Zoe. That's true of the one we're talking about. Again, with small steps, she says. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to know, though, with some about what small directions to take. Like with this one, should the conversation be recently, you know, quite direct, quite, you know, this is about fear of failure. That's my angle on it. And it could well be wrong. You could well direct me elsewhere with it. Remember, you can call in. Anybody listening right now, feel free to hit that gray icon on the Podbean app. You might be listening on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Podbean live on your Sunday morning. If you want to call, or Sunday afternoon, please do call in and drop in your thoughts. And while you're thinking on child A had low self-belief, low aspirations, doesn't take himself seriously and laughs off a lot of conversations in class and areas to improve. Child B is a high achiever when young, but currently experiencing a barrier because of the threat of challenge. So he goes real slow, so he doesn't really have to go out of his comfort zone and has a fixed mindset in family. Child C, last of all, is slightly below her year group expectations. So not terribly bad, not really high achieving, just slightly below year group expectations. Low aspirations, no clear preferences or ambition in school. She's very much someone who hasn't come to know herself very, very well. No strong friendships, but is generally liked. She's happy in school. She's happy to be in school, but no strong friendships. Attendance isn't great. Low confidence, but lovely. Difficult home situation, chaotic, unreliable home, no sign of them at parents' evening, and vulnerable going into secondary school regarding friendships and social place. Very much somebody who wants to be, who wants to find their tribe, but unfortunately might, you know, is vulnerable to following the last one. Slightly below year group expectations, but more goals with this one in terms of knowing oneself, having a sense of who they are, and strengthening their own aspirations within that. What angles would you approach? Zoe says we need to give the structure and sometimes pull that away too soon. True. I am old and I don't know myself. Yeah, interesting. So yeah, knowing yourself is obviously a pretty blurry thing to say. I probably a lot of people feel like that about not knowing oneself, but I hope you'd know the kind of, when we're talking about a young person in class going on to secondary school, the kind of the danger of what we're talking about there is not to say every child needs to know themselves fully and have some kind of, you know, profound awareness of themselves, but to not know yourself to a certain degree and be vulnerable in a home and social situation, there's a difference there to just not, you know, do you know what I mean? I'm trying to differentiate between not knowing ourselves as adults and profound deep on a profoundly deep level, but actually as a learner in a you know, fluctuating home and social environment, it's a little bit more dangerous. And I think that most, you know, generally speaking, hopefully most healthy, happy learners will know themselves somewhat and have a sense of self, a sense of pride in their achievements. And that's where I think aspiration and motivation come from for a lot of learners, is to say that's, you know, but, you know, to, I guess in all of us, that should be fluid as well. And we should be flexible with it. Anyway, those are my three kids, child A, B and C, deliberately picked to be different. One, low aspirations, low self-belief, low, and you know, at the moment, what am I saying, low aspirations, low self-belief, laughs a lot of things off, doesn't take self too seriously. Child B, very different, certainly has self-belief, certainly, you know, has experienced success, but now finding barriers as they get older and the difficulty level is ramping up. Child C, more of a social angle, somebody who's socially vulnerable, not confident in themselves, academically okay, but could be doing a lot better. For I sense that this, that that last one more so kind of picks a comfortable lane and stays in it, and I would like to break those walls down and get her out of that lane and start trying out new things for herself. But that takes confidence, doesn't it? It's not easy for everybody to do that. And so what would be your tips to success for those learners is what I ask you as we head into the last 9 minutes or 8 minutes of the show. Any suggestions about what could boost them on their learning journey? This isn't just about helping me. I'm only going to be with them for another few weeks. But they're characteristics that I see relatively often in my class. Certainly, the last two. The first example is a little bit more unique, I think, in my context. But the high achiever when young, who starts developing defensive barriers as they get older, very common in my setting and in my context, I think, for many learners at this point. And then a girl with this kind of low self-esteem, not much sense of self or direction, that again, relatively common in my own experience. So it's something that I would reflect on comments, not just this year, but actually going forward. And I hope that fellow listeners might take a little moment to think about these as well. What do you think, guys? What do you think? If you want, you can call in. We can pick apart some of these ideas that are all challenging in their own ways and certainly not simple. I know from some of the discussions and question points that have been brought up in the comments, they're not easy things to talk through and there's so many grey areas, but that is the nature of it, isn't it? That's the nature of what we're talking about. That's the nature of learning challenges, barriers, growth mindset, contexts, individuals. You know, these kids are humans. These kids are complex. They're as complex as the number of days they've been on the planet. It's not an easy Rubik's Cube to solve. So I send it out to you guys, send it out to the airwaves. I'm going to pop on the Teacher Talk Radio competition for you to listen and see if you want to set an aspiration for yourself. Perhaps you want to take a punt at a competition to put yourself out there, talk about the future of teaching on Teacher Talk Radio, and you could win yourself £50. So here's the description of the competition. Think on child A, B, and C, and let me know. You can call in if you like to end off the show in the next few minutes. Here's the competition.
Do you have something to say about the future of education? Maybe you have some positive ideas about the way things could or should be in the future. Then enter our Teachers Talk Radio competition. Submit a 10-minute video presentation to us by 22nd of May, presenting your ideas about the future of education, and you could win £50. Our host team will select 5 winners who will each win £50 and have their video feature at a high-profile education event. to enter, simply send your video entry to teacherstalkradio@gmail.com with the subject line TTR Competition. We will announce the five winners after 22nd of May on Teachers Talk Radio Live. Live from London, this is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Collum on Teachers Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, we're heading towards the end of the Sunday Brunch, and in 35 minutes, Khalil Rouse will be hitting the airwaves to talk to you about all things parenting and teaching, which is quite an interesting angle, but I won't say any more for that. I'll let him take that angle. We are talking about growth mindset. We're talking about how to jump the hurdles of growth mindset that learners face. Could you help child A, B, and C reach their aspirations?
Live from London, this is the Sunday Brunch with Graham Collum on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/TT Radio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TT Radio.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We have 5 minutes on the air. Okay, 5 minutes. And so we are wrapping up this conversation about the hurdles of growth mindset. I'm trying to bring it back into the light because obviously there's been a lot of shifts in education lately, a lot of shifts of focus and talking about new directions and technologies coming in and online learning, and everything's moved around a little bit. So I want to keep this pillar standing, and I want to talk about growth mindset and re-engage some of you with the hills and barriers of growth mindset in the classroom, and how do we keep it going, keep it riding high as a key pillar of learning. So something to think about as we head towards the end of the show. Do you have other angles on how to embed growth mindset in the school? I talked about my own school and how we come from an angle of five characteristics. I'll go through those again. We got patience, resilience, perseverance, self-belief, and aspiration. And we try and embed those characteristics throughout the school physically. We try and have assemblies focused on them. The head does a lot of talking on them. We train staff on growth mindset. And then we had workshops in with the kids on growth mindset. And hopefully we'll have some more in the near future to remind all about growth mindset in the school. So there's a many-pronged approach to embedding growth mindset in my school environment. I wonder what you think would help embed it further, because we're not there, of course. You can't be there with something as wide-reaching and something as challenging to tackle as growth mindset in all the worlds of all the different learners. We can't be there for all of them. So what other ways could we embed it? How in your school do you find that growth mindset is embedded? Is it embedded or is it not? Perhaps you disagree with growth mindset and you think it's not the way forward at all. Then call in and let me know what you think about that. Let me know why. Let me know maybe the alternative angle that you take on it. Maybe you can put that growth mindset idea to bed and raise a new one from its ashes like a phoenix from the flames. All kinds of things. I put forward child A, B, and C, and we've been talking about ways we could help these children reach their goals. Child A has low aspirations, low self-belief. They don't take themselves very seriously. They laugh off, talk about learning and goals. They're very polite and lovely, and they enjoy school. But they just don't take themselves very seriously. And it's all kind of hidden behind that low self-belief, unfortunately. How would you help that child engage with higher aspirations? Lovely suggestions to get them to take on a responsibility, you know, be a leader in the school and perhaps help other children with their learning might cause them to reflect. Great suggestion there from Mal. Child B is high achiever when young, you know, dyslexia was in the family, but not with this individual. And so parents have been very protective of him. There's been some fixed mindset around that high achieving when young. And now that child is somewhat stuck in their ways and does not want to risk developing further in case they fail. So they go very, very, very slowly in their work. How can we help them to engage with those challenges and push themselves further? Child C, last of all, I don't know if I struck a nerve with Child C with some. Child C is a girl who has low confidence, low self-belief, not great attendance, not great consistent home situation neither. And she basically hangs around slightly below the year group expectations and seems to sit there without much aspiration, without much sense of self, or kind of wanting to go out there. Not for any kind of lack of wanting to. You know, this child wants to do well. She wants to be seen well and to feel good about herself, but doesn't seem to maybe know how, or doesn't seem to know where to go. What would you do? What would you do to help these individuals? Do you have any solutions? We are heading right to the last moment. So if you do have solutions, you need to fly in quick. If you're listening anywhere else, get on the Podbean app and you can drop comments to me live on the air. You can also click the grey round icon to call in if you're happy to call in for a single minute or two to rapidly share your tips. Please, please do. The more people who share, the merrier. A lovely chat in the room today. Lovely comments, especially from Zoe Enser and Mal Krishnasamy, fellow host Mal Krishnasamy. It's been awesome. Thank you, Tom Hopkins Burke, for being here. Thank you, Noreen, for being here throughout. Pauline and Simon, thanks for being here, siblings. Always fun to have you in the room. And everybody else who's been here, and everybody else. I'll see if I can find a list of who else is in the room right now. Khalil's in here. Hello, Khalil. Tim, good to have you in as always. Seema's in here and Jake is in here. Good to have all you guys in and whoever else might be hanging around. I hope you've enjoyed. We are hitting the last moments of the show. I hope you've enjoyed some tips about embedding growth mindset, maybe something to think about bringing into your own school, engaging with those child A, B and C. Always feel free to follow up the conversation on Twitter after the show, or on any of the other platforms, as Teacher Talk Radio is going everywhere. It's all over the place. You can comment in lots of different ways. But for me, I'm not on Facebook and that stuff. So you can find me on Twitter at Graham Colin VO. You can find Teacher Talk Radio at TT Radio 2021 on Twitter, and it's on Instagram and all kinds of stuff. It's a wonderful, wonderful show that hosts a whole great range of different hosts, different viewpoints, talking through the moments, the topics of the hour in education. And in half an hour, we're going to be back on the airwaves with the amazing Khalil Rouse, who's complimenting me right now, saying, good work, Graham. Thank you, Khalil. I wish you all the best in your Sunday show. Enjoy your slot. And I need to get out of here so you can get on here. So it's been a pleasure, everyone. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon. I hope it's restful. I hope it's joyful. I hope you get some sun. It's been a pretty miserable day, but it's been great to be here on the airwaves with you all. Speak to you all soon. Bye.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.
I'm going now, Khalil. Have a good show.